This is a CBC podcast.
Calgary definitely curls, but queer Calgary, they're getting swept away. Hi, I'm Anis Haidari, and this is Calgary. Curling. It's that sport where you shove heavy rocks across a sheet of ice. It's beloved across much of Canada. I'm laughing because it sounds so strange when you describe it. But I know Mr. Senior Producer over here, Page, he loves to play.
It's the physics of it. You know, if you could just sneak this rock around by throwing it slightly less hard, but over to this, it's just such a weird game. But you know me, Perry boy, born and raised, you know I curl.
I did know that, Josh, but did you know I heard something very recent about curling? I know it surprised you. What did you learn, Josh? What did I hear?
I'm laughing because you should have seen the look on your face when I told you this, because yes, you heard this from me. Perhaps I approached you in the hallway and said, hey, I have this idea for an episode.
I love ideas.
We all love ideas. They're great. And did you know there's an entire curling league dedicated to curlers who are part of the 2SLGBTQ communities?
And I was like... Yes.
Yeah, and I said, it's turned my curling rink into a party on weekends. And you were like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, actually, I mean, I just started curling a few months ago, so I was really like, who have you been talking to, and what have they said about my curling skills?
No one was commenting on your skill itself, I promise you. Your form in the hack, we've left it alone. But there were folks in my own curling league, they were talking about it. They're queer, lesbian, gay.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit, though, of that old news blooper. It pops up on YouTube every so often where there's a news anchor who's like, blah, 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 but he's gay.
It's a classic.
So I could not resist the chance to reference a news blooper, of course. But the other thing I can't resist, recording loud noises. I decided to lug a tape recorder to one of my own curling games. I'm in the 2SLGBTQ Curling League.
You want to be part of this?
Don't say bitch on CBC.
Yeah, my team thought it was totally normal for me to have broadcast gear on the ice. Because this is our playoff game, right? So if we lose, we're out.
We're already out.
Okay, wait. Say that again. What?
We're already out.
Why do you say that?
Because we are out of the closet. It's a queer league.
The thing is, I assume we're out, mostly because of me. I'm not very good.
Did that go where it was supposed to go?
I don't remember, but they're both in the house.
Well done.
So that's great.
Good.
I joined the league after a friend invited me to try it out this winter. A few months in, the reviews are mixed.
Denise, your first two stones were awesome. Last one stunk.
Thanks.
Put that in your podcast.
The Apollo Curling League has been around for years, and every Saturday, the North Hill Curling Club is full. Every sheet has a 2SLGBTQ team playing. It starts in the afternoon, and it goes into the evening. There are rainbow flags literally in the ice here. I didn't really know just how popular this sport was in queer circles here in Calgary until one of the Apollo League organizers and someone from the North Hill Club sat down with me before a game.
Hello, my name is Joelle Trewick, and I am the president of the board of directors at the North Hill Curling Club.
Tell me about this place.
So we are celebrating our 100-year anniversary next season. So that starts kind of September, October 2025 to 2026. And it was initially built 100 years ago, but was burned down to the ground by a fire in 1996.
How many different curling leagues or curling groups participate here?
We have over 30, I believe 37 leagues here, and that includes rental leagues and our regular evening leagues, and we're a pretty busy club.
Hi, my name is Phil Ivers. I'm one of the organizers of the Apollo Curling League in Calgary.
How popular is gay, queer, 2SLGBTQ+ curling in Calgary from your perspective?
In Calgary, it's like, especially for a winter sport or winter activity, it's really popular. We've been lucky in that there's been sports organizations for about 40-some years, and we've had an umbrella group that used to organize all of them, and that's kind of gone away. Most of the sports do their own thing now, but we've got lawn bowling and volleyball and, everything you can imagine. And softball in the summer and curling in the winter, there's a lot of crossover there, so we get a lot of cross-pollination between those two sports. So both of the softball and the curling have seen tremendous growth in the last few years, especially I think COVID really sort of solidified the need for people getting together and doing things, because that isolation period I think really made people realize that they don't want to be alone and just being on their phone all the time or just dealing with apps. The actual face-to-face community is important, and these are safe and supporting environments that really appeal to those type of people.
Do you ever meet people who are surprised? Like Josh was surprised. He was like, Anise, did you know? It's like, yeah, I'd heard of it. Do you get people saying the same thing to you when they maybe see the Apollo curling logo on the ice here?
I think there are quite a few people who don't realize how big the community is and just how popular it is. But if should come to an event and check it out, it's just tons of fun and, I don't know, a great environment to be in.
What do you think it is about curling that has become so popular with... I don't just want to say gay and lesbian people, because I've been here on Saturdays. There's people from across the gender diverse spectrum here. So from everyone on the rainbow, what makes curling so popular for them?
I think that, it's now been an Olympic sport for, 30 years, and I think the Brier and the Scotties and just the fact that all these other countries now are very, very competitive, and it's not just sort of a given that Canada's going to win a world title in curling anymore, makes it a little bit more interesting from just news reports and that sort of thing. And so I think it's on the radar a little bit more than normal. And then at North Hill, in the last few years, we've put on a free Learn to Curl day, and we advertise it all over the place, and we get hundreds of people coming out for this thing.
Yeah, I was at one of the Learn to Curl days, and I may have hurt myself. Not super badly, but I definitely felt it for several weeks afterwards. I had a couple of wipeouts. What's the range of experience? Because, I'd never curled before. How many people are like me?
I'd say on any given year we have maybe two dozen new curlers, like brand new curlers that join the league. What we try to do is make sure sometimes they come with their own set of friends and they're just joining with their own team. Other times we try to place them with other teams with more experienced curlers to help that mentorship grow. But every year we always have brand new curlers that have never set foot on the ice. But then we also have people coming in that they just moved to the city, but they curled previously, or they grew up curling and they haven't in a while, so they're coming back to the sport. It's all over the place. But we've got close to 300 people in our league, and some of them could be quite competitive at the provincial level, and others are just doing it for fun.
There are people with stopwatches and who are... I shouldn't admit this. I still don't quite know what they're doing with the stopwatch, but it seems very complicated. Whereas I'm like, I don't understand the hand motions still a year in. I'm like, so you want me to go in what direction? And okay, I'm really good at shoving the rock really hard and knocking something out if it just goes in one direction and it doesn't need to actually curl.
It's pretty basic that it's just harder than it looks. But at the same time, I think this is also part of the reason why curling is so popular, is that anybody can learn at any stage in your life. Like, you could be 60 and learn to curl, and that's not a big deal. It's not like taking up downhill skiing.
I mean, I think there's people who are in the Apollo League who also play in other leagues through the week because they love it so much.
Like half? Maybe half? Do you think?
I doubt it's half, but it's a big number.
There's a lot of
people. Yeah, just on Tuesday nights alone, I can think of three or four teams that are from the Apollo League.
Monday nights, there are a couple of teams as well that play with Apollo, and then other clubs. We don't even know about all the other clubs.
There's a joke that on Saturdays, the North Hill Curling Club is the gay bar of Calgary these days. How does that make you feel as the chair?
I think it's great. I'm happy to be part of anything that can help host. I know from the boardroom side of things that North Hill does quite well on Saturdays, and it's largely in part because of the Apollo League. and then the community that they have created.
I would love to know, how does it feel to be a part of the organization that has helped create that space for queer people on Saturdays in Calgary?
It's great. I mean, this is probably my 25th year of organizing, and the growth that I've seen has just been amazing. And I get a really good feeling seeing everybody having fun.
Let's talk a little bit about Western Cup. That's coming up in April. It's Easter weekend, but it is a big deal here. Tell me about how the Apollo League and how gay curling in Calgary in general interacts with Western Cup. But first of all, tell us what Western Cup is.
So Western Cup is it's been going on for over 40 years. It's the largest multi-sport gay and lesbian tournament, sports tournament or activities in North America.
And it's not just curling. There's curling, dodgeball, hockey. Yes, there's hockey, right?
Yeah, volleyball, bowling, cross-country skiing. There's just all sorts of stuff. And the curling portion of it, this year we have 56 teams, which makes us the biggest gay bonspiel in Canada and basically, therefore, the biggest gay bonspiel in the world. This is the first time we've made it to 56 teams, and we actually have to split it between two clubs. We're going to be curling out of North Hill as well as the Calgary Curling Club, which is just down the street. So we've got, 250 people coming, roughly, just for curling.
So really, like, on the one hand, we're talking about the Apollo League being really dedicated to 2SLGBTQ+ people. But there are queer people curling across the city, as we've heard. But now you're telling me, like, we have the biggest gay curling bonspiel in the world. Like, there's something going on. I mean, if you told me that Calgary would be the home of the biggest queer sports tournament for curling in the world, I would say, well, I guess I don't know where else it would be. Maybe Scotland.
I think it's just really built on the great community and that has been here at Apollo and that the gay community has provided over all these years. I really think it just has to do with the such great community and then the welcoming environment of it all.
I don't think there's very many cities where you'd find two curling rinks literally within a couple blocks of each other. So Calgary's pretty unique in that perspective as well.
Thanks for making time to talk to me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. That's great.
As for the game, we did win, so my team, Sissy That Rock, isn't out of the playoffs yet. But after the game, as is tradition at every curling club and every curling league, you head to the lounge.
And it's just good company. It's just, there's people of all ages, all genders, all races. It's just a good demonstration of who and what we are.
I don't think I've taught anyone Persian swear words in this game.
No, I don't think you have.
Okay, that'll come. That'll be next season.
Only you would look forward to teaching people Persian swears, being, dare I say, a bit of a sheet disturber, Anise.
I can't even get mad because I would have said that myself. In fact, I may have encouraged you to make a curling pun before we even got into the recording booth. That is the very punny senior producer, Josh Page. Mackenzie Meyer also gave us a hand this week. And thanks to my curling teammates for letting me record them. You heard Enzo a few times there. I'm Anise Haidari, and this is Calgary. We're back next week. Remember to subscribe, follow, and listen on apps like Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Right after the break, we're going to interview Eric Weihenmayer, who climbed the highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. But he's gay. He's blind. So we'll hear about that coming up.
Okay, as we head to the break, a look at the 6 o'clock.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.